Hello, I'm Roisin Hasty with the BBC News. President Biden has hailed the diplomatic breakthrough that allowed the first civilians to leave Gaza after weeks of being trapped in the conflict. Mr. Biden thanked Qatar in particular for its support in the negotiations. He said the development was a result of intense diplomacy.
American citizens are able to exit today as part of the first group of probably over 1,000. We'll see more of this process going on in the coming days. Working nonstop to get Americans out of Gaza as soon and as safely as possible.
The U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is preparing to visit to the region on Friday. Our international editor Jeremy Bowen reports from southern Israel.
At last, the gates of the Rafah crossing were opened. Some foreign citizens were allowed to leave Gaza for Egypt, for the first time since Israel imposed its siege. Convoys of aid trucks are moving into Gaza, though not nearly as many as the UN and aid agencies say are necessary. Ambulances went in for the seriously wounded.
Hamas's media office in Gaza says 195 people were killed in Israel's attacks near the Jabalia refugee camp on Tuesday and Wednesday. It says more than 120 people are still missing, most likely under the rubble. The head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has visited Gaza for the first time since the fighting began. Philippe Lazzarini said everyone he'd met at a school sheltering Palestinians made homeless by the fighting had asked for food and water. He told reporters he was shocked.
I saw almost every children trying to express their way that they need to eat, they need to have water. I never ever have seen something similar in Gaza when I came before, after conflict.
The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has said he's appalled by the escalating violence in Gaza, including the killing of women and children in the densely populated camp. Israel's Defence Minister Yoav Gallant says the Israeli military has dropped more than 10,000 munitions on Gaza City alone. The BBC has found that Israeli attacks have landed in areas Palestinians were told to go to for their own safety. Thousands of people have fled to southern Gaza, which has continued to come under bombardment. BBC Verify has examined 4 Israeli attacks last month using video from social media. In Khan Yunis and Rafah, Israel advised people to move to areas that were bombed days later. The IDF responded by saying it takes precautionary measures to avoid harming civilians. It says it communicates with Gaza's residents using leaflet drops and other systems. World News from the BBC. Austrian leaders have condemned an attack on the Jewish part of Vienna's central cemetery. Bethany Bell reports from the Austrian capital.
The head of the Jewish community in Austria, Oskar Deutsch, said it was frightening to see a swastika and the name of Hitler sprayed on the wall of a Jewish cemetery. He said the fire had damaged the foyer of the ceremonial hall. Austria's Chancellor Karl Nehammer strongly condemned the attack and promised to fight anti-Semitism with all political and legal means. The Austrian President Alexander van der Bellen said he was deeply shocked. He said the number of anti-Semitic incidents in Austria had increased significantly in recent weeks, and he demanded that they stop.
The US Federal Reserve has kept its key interest rate at its highest level for 22 years. It will remain between 5.25% and 5.5%. The central bank has been attempting to stabilise price rises by raising the cost of borrowing. The eldest son of Donald Trump has given evidence at a civil fraud trial in New York, where he's accused, along with his father and brother, of inflating the value of assets to secure favourable loans. Prosecutors argue that Donald Trump Jr. was responsible for the accuracy of financial statements, which they say fraudulently exaggerated asset valuations by billions of dollars. He said that while he signed off on documents, he was not responsible for compiling them and relied on accountants. The former president and his family all deny wrongdoing. The American Ornithological Society, which is responsible for standardising English bird names across the Americas, has announced it will rename birds that are named directly after people so as not to honour historical figures connected with slavery. The new names will describe the birds' habitats or physical features. That's the latest.